Welcome to The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families, centered on biblical truth and Catholic teaching, because God's kingdom begins at home. Now welcome your hosts, Mari, John, and Craig, here on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Welcome into the family room. We are so happy that you are joining us here today. I'm Mari, and I'm here with Craig and John. We got the band back together. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Feels like it's been a while, doesn't it?
It has been. I know we've all been traveling and doing things, and I haven't gotten to be with you guys in a while.
And John had the nerve to move.
Yes, he did. But you know what?
Through the
power of technology, we are all together.
Perfect.
Yes, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're really together.
Exactly.
Because it takes the Holy Spirit for us to be together.
It totally does. It totally does. So today, I'm excited personally just because the topic that we have is a topic that when we first started talking about this show, which was over 3 years ago now, which is hard to believe,
it was
a hot topic that when I first met Craig and then Craig introduced me to John, you guys were almost levitating with your energy and your passion around this topic, which was the topic of men like stepping up. Men stepping up and really stepping into their role as husband, as father, as spiritual leader, as the one who protects the family from all evil, the one who puts on the armor of Christ every day and really takes that role seriously. And we know that a lot of men take their role as leaders in business and bringing in money and that type of thing seriously. But you guys really had a heart for the need for men to do that. So I wanted to talk about first, before we even got into introducing our guest today, tell me again about your passion around that and your thoughts around that.
Go ahead, John. I'll let you go first.
Well, you said it the best, Mari. Look, we are all created in the image and likeness of our Creator, and we each have roles to do. And the family unit is how the Holy Spirit, God, acts in the world where a family is involved. And men have a responsibility. We've been given a role model in St. Joseph and in the saints. And when I look at what goes on the I used to really kind of lose my mind just watching television, and I don't do very much of that anymore. But what the television and culture has relegated the male, particularly the father role to, it's like dispensable, dummy. If you could teach something else to take out the trash, who needs a husband, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that's hyperbole, but not much.
Yeah.
And so I'm not too proud to tell you there was a certain anger, because I don't feel like that's how my father raised me. I don't think that's how I raised our children. And I don't think that that's the way it is. And I do think that a huge percentage of what we see as social issues, faith issues, all come from the fact that many men who are good guys have abdicated their role as father, and we want them to come back.
Yeah, that's beautifully said.
Yeah, now I mean, look, I think when St. Peter says, you know, the devil prowls about the world like a roaring lion, you don't get a quiet, you know, oh, this is no big deal. You get a pretty serious image of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I know when John and I first talked, you know, one of my images was, you know, a lot of us guys are sitting in an easy chair in our living room drinking a beer or drinking a soda, whatever it is, watching TV, and our house is on fire. Mm-hmm. We don't even know it. Or somebody's trying to break in the back door, and we're kind of numb to all of it. And by the way, if my house gets affected, typically the house next door gets affected. And you kind of look at the deterioration of the entire neighborhood. And to John's point, we said, you know, you look at the samples of television and what fathers used to be even on TV compared to where they are today.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, don't be too strong. Don't be too hard. Don't be too masculine. And I mean, look, we can't even determine what male and female is today because fathers have abdicated our rights, saying my job is to earn a living. My job is to give kids more and more and more. And we had a men's meeting today and we talked about, you know, we're Catholic. How many of us are really Catholic, or how many of us are, what do you call it? Not traditionally Catholic,
like,
but
culturally
Catholic.
Yeah.
Right? What do you know about your faith? What has God called you to in your faith?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I'd really like to get to church, and I'd really like to maybe do adoration, and I'd really like to. And, you know, John laughs at me in our men's group and say, well, get off your butt and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where are we? Are we committed? Are we not committed? Are we, you know, sitting there hoping somebody else stops people from telling our kids it's okay to, you know, change their sex because they just don't feel right today? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a little wound up.
No.
See, remember that part I said about like levitating with parish passion about this?
But yeah. What you just said is a perfect segue because we're going to talk to somebody, Craig, mm-hmm. to your poetic, you know, presentation, who got up off his butt and is doing something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let's go.
Yes. So we're very excited about that, right? We're very excited about that. So before we introduce him, though, why don't we go ahead and have you open us in prayer, John?
Mm. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon with just prayers of praise and prayers of adoration, because in all things, sometimes as crazy as they are, there's always this glimmer of life, this glimmer of hope, this power that you exude to bring good from everything. Father, we see you raising an army, and that is encouraging. And we know that you don't raise an army just to have a standing army. You raise an army to prepare your church for battle. And the battle rages. And Heavenly Father, we place our trust in you. We ask for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph that you would lead our thoughts and prayers and conversation today, that we might contribute to what is your good plan, your perfect plan for men, for women, for families and children. Father, we are your church. Protect us and guide us this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Attaboy, John. Thanks. Well, everybody, we've kind of given you an intro, and we've got a young man, because we're kind of old on this show, at least John and I are.
Me too.
We've got a young guy, Nick Bernard, from Our Lady of the Mountain Parish in Jasper, Georgia. So technically local, kind of physically quite a ways away from us. Nick, love to have you on the show, man. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So before we dive in, you know, somebody might say, why in the world is Nick on your show? What has he got to say? Who's he? Who is he? Why don't you give us a little bit of a bio of kind of who you are? And then I know we're going to eventually jump into your faith journey, but kind of keep the bio high level and tell us who you are, what you're doing, and how you're involved maybe even in your parish.
Oh, man. Okay. Put me on the spot.
My job.
Well, my name is Nick Bernhard. I am happily married to my wife, Catherine, for 12 years this year. We have five wonderful children. Our oldest is 11. Our youngest will be 2 in August. We recently became parishioners. I say recently. It's been about a year now. We moved from central Missouri to the Jasper area. We actually live in Waleska, and we've been there for about a year now. And we are the, I guess, newly appointed or recently taking over the Holy Family Ministry there at Our Lady of the Mountains.
Awesome.
So there's a number of wonderful things that are going on at the parish. And lastly, I guess I'll add that a couple of weekends ago, I was elected to be the co-chair of the pastoral council for the next 2 years. So I guess that's as high level as I'll keep it for now, I guess.
But I guess for everybody listening, too, do you have a full-time job or are you in full-time ministry?
No, I do have a full-time job. So I work for a company that is based out of Illinois. I have the wonderful pleasure of being able to work from home. But I'm a project engineer in the construction chemicals industry.
Great.
Cool. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And it's lovely to listen to all the ways that you have so quickly gotten involved in your parish. As Craig mentioned a second ago, we always love to hear people's faith journey. It's helpful for all of our listeners to know, I'm not the only one who, you know, maybe it took a while to walk in my faith life, or maybe I was culturally Catholic for a while, or maybe whatever it might be. But can you tell us a little bit about your past and what was formative for you as you walked into your Catholic faith that you apparently have today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like many people, our faith journeys are synonymous with our life journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it helps to start from the very beginning. So I was born in 1990. My biological father, when I was 18 months old, committed suicide. And the man that I call my father or my dad, he married my mom when I was about 3. And he adopted me and raised me as his son. My mom did not grow up in a home of faith, but my father, stepfather, I refer to him as my father, he was raised Catholic. He went to Catholic school, graduated from Catholic high school, and so it was something that was important to him. So he enrolled me in Catholic school starting in first grade, and I received the sacrament of baptism in first grade. But aside from that, our home was not a home of practicing our faith. I tell people that I went to Catholic school. I didn't grow up Catholic, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Makes sense.
My childhood through eighth grade and into high school, I attended Catholic school, but I learned the Catholic faith as a subject matter, just like any other subject. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until after I met my wife that I really considered pursuing the faith on my own merit. So I guess taking a step back, I made my first confession, obviously received Holy Eucharist for the first time in second grade. And then until I was 22, when I met my wife, I had not received any other sacrament. In middle school, we attended Mass every Friday, but I had no full heartfelt concept of what I was doing. My formation was very, very poor. It was not reinforced in the home. And I'm sure we can get into the importance of catechesis in the home, particularly led by fathers, and what that means for the faith formation and development of a family, but particularly for young men. And so after leaving Catholic school, the Catholic faith left with it. My lifestyle had nothing to do with the Catholic faith. My day-to-day activities, my beliefs, my thought processes, there was nothing about it that was Catholic. So uniquely, my wife grew up in a very devout Catholic family. Her family at one point was very involved in the Legionaries of Christ. And so a very different upbringing as it pertains to spirituality. But when God put us together, we were both in a place of not practicing, not really sure what we wanted out of life. And we got married outside of the church. Our married life did not start in the, I guess, the context of what a Catholic family and a Catholic marriage should. And it wasn't until after our oldest son, who's now 11, was born about a year later, she just expressed this true desire to go back to the church, to raise him in the faith. And through our dating process and even early in our marriage, we had had conversations about faith and about God. And I would, I guess, refer to myself now as maybe agnostic, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I believed in God. I believed that there was something there. But one, my own ignorance, that I didn't really know what the Catholic Church taught. But society influences you to believe a number of different things. And so I had read about Buddhism. I had read about Islam. I had read about this and read about that, and kind of had developed this opinion in my own mind of, like, you know, faith and achieving the glory of heaven is kind of like a roadmap, right? Is that there's all these different roads that lead to the same place. Right. So why do I need to pick one over the other, or who's to say that one's better than another one? That was kind of where we are, where our marriage began and kind of our faith journey began. That's kind of where we found ourselves after about the first year of marriage and having our son. And so she began to go back to church. She went to confession. She was attending Mass, but our marriage hadn't been blessed, and so she wasn't receiving. And it wasn't until we moved, so there was a career change about 2 or 3 years into our marriage, where we moved to Lake Charles, Louisiana. So I didn't open up with this. I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and that's where my wife and I met. And so I went through a career change, and we ended up in Lake Charles. And at the time of the move, we had really begun to talk about spirituality, about faith, about how we wanted to raise our children, kind of really making educated lifestyle decisions. And I said, you know what? I'll go back to church with you to support this endeavor for you, you know, trying to be a good husband, trying to be supportive. And so we started to do that. We found a very small rural church down in Lake Charles. It was called Christ the King Parish. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the priest. His name was Father Tony. And he just had a simplicity about him, a charisma about him that I really began to enjoy. right about this time, they had done an all call for the ACTS retreat program. I don't know if you're familiar with ACTS or not. ACTS is an acronym. It stands for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. And really what hit me was there was a probably 60, 65-year-old man who was asked to come and give a brief pulpit talk or kind of personal testimony, if you will, from the altar at the end of Mass about what the retreat had done for him. And he listed a number of different things, but he talked about his marriage, about his relationship with his wife, his relationship with his kids, and the man was in tears. And I, for whatever reason, it just hit me straight in the heart. And I looked over at Catherine and I said, I'm going to go on that retreat. And she was shocked. She was like, wow, this is moving quickly, but you know, I support you and I'm there to help you through. And so I did. I made the retreat, and I don't want to spoil the entire retreat, but the Sacrament of Confession is available during the retreat amongst other sacraments. And to go to confession for the first time and truly understand what you're doing for the first time in 15 years, there was a lot to unpack, a lot to admit, a lot to bring before the Lord. And thanks be to God, the priest that I had in the confessional was awesome. He helped me through it, and it truly was a life-changing experience. And so I kind of say that's really where my personal faith journey began. Mm-hmm. Following the retreat, I went through confirmation. I got confirmed. Catherine and I's marriage was blessed in the church. So we fully came into the church as a married couple. We began to receive the sacraments together. And really that's kind of where our Catholic faith as a family and as a couple really blossomed. And then really from there, it's kind of been a journey. We left Lake Charles, moved to Missouri for another career change, found the traditional Latin Mass, fell in love with it and the community that was involved there. We made a number of different couples retreats, individual retreats, one of them being Domestic Church. I don't know if you've ever heard of Domestic Church or not, but it's a wonderful faith program. Where families come together, particularly couples come together with a priest on a weekly basis and have meetings to talk about various topics of family life, home life, growing in spirituality together. And then we, as I stated about a year ago, moved away from Missouri and are now here in Jasper.
Wow.
That's pretty packed.
For anybody who just dialed in and are listening, you're hearing Nick Bernhard talking about his faith and talking. He's going to get into a speaker he's got coming into his church and all that he's doing in the parish for men, quite honestly. So thanks for that excellent faith walk.
Yeah, actually, as you spoke to that, there were so many things that was so helpful. I think for one of the things that struck me was how much hope there is. You know, if you haven't walked this and you're starting to feel that niggle of God's calling me but I'm not sure. I was married outside of the church. How can that even happen? I haven't been to confession since I was 7 years old. How can that even happen? Right.
Yeah.
That God wants you and there are easy ways to step back in. And so how beautiful that your wife supported you to go on that retreat. How beautiful that somebody was able to open up and be vulnerable and talk about the impact of a retreat on them. You know, I'm just thinking about all the people, all of our listeners who can impact each other's lives in one way or the other, whether it's them sharing their own experience with a retreat that might spark the heart of a young man like yourself, or whether it's, you know, somebody willing to step forward and realize there is hope in coming back into the church, no matter how long you've been away or how far you've been away or anything like that. I think that's great. John, you look like you had some thoughts too.
Well, no, there's like, so I had 1,000 things as I prepared for this and as I listened and Nick, you've hit him. So my thing is, Mari, you said it, and I find myself in different situations trying to explain to someone who may have chosen a lifestyle that doesn't align with the church, mm-hmm. that there is a Jesus Christ who seeks a relationship with you so passionately that none of that matters, right?
Yes.
It's
Amen.
So hard for me to get that across. And you just articulated it so awesomely, Nick, that that's, I think that's important. And then what I want to go to is God chooses you. He opens your heart. He enables you. And then that doesn't stop there. And thank God you didn't stop there, because now you're doing all manner of things. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on at Our Lady of the Mountains, because you have taken this touch that God gave to your heart, despite whatever condition it was in at the touching point, and now has you prepped and primed to touch other hearts. What are some of the ways you plan to do that or are doing that?
So when we first met with Father Tree to learn more about really his vision for the Holy Family Ministry and what he wanted to see offered, he really emphasized the desire to bring budding, aspiring young Catholic families, couples together in social environments or theological environments to grow closer in communion with each other, but also with the larger body of Christ. And I'll take a step back. My childhood was littered with a number of different things that would and did draw me away from the faith. Like I mentioned, my father committed suicide when I was 18 months old. My mother suffered from a tremendous amount of autoimmune diseases and then ultimately fell into alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I watched her, and she ultimately succumbed to it, but I watched her die a very slow, painful death. And it was very sad. My stepfather at times was very absent. He owned his own business and was successful in career. We never wanted for anything. We lived a very privileged life as children. And so looking back on my life, the one thing that I would say was missing was that positive male role model, that positive male mentor that was pushing me to be better than I was. And I deviated off the path in so many different ways and truly lived a godless life. And so thanks be to God for my wife and for the retreat and for the men that have stepped up and been vulnerable. And so when Father Tree was explaining what he wanted, I just kept having this resounding kind of sound in the back of my head. I now attribute it to the Holy Spirit of, if you can get to the men, you can get to the families, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who else is saying that same thing? The devil.
Yeah.
And so we see it across the landscape of society where men are seeped in sin and they're not leading the virtuous Catholic lives that we're called to. And there's a number of different topics and situations. And so when we first set out to lead this Holy Family Ministry after Father so graciously entrusted it to us, our goal was to first start with family-sanctioned events. And so it's ironic that we're actually filming today because it's the first Friday of July. And so our primary event that we host is a first Friday family night. Mm-hmm. So first Fridays at Our Lady of the Mountains, we have adoration all day, Eucharistic adoration all day. Father is available for Mass after Mass, and or he's available for confession after Mass, after our 9:30 Mass on Friday mornings. And then there is a Eucharistic adoration all day long. But we come back together to the Mass, and we say the rosary with all of the families that are a part of our ministry before the Blessed Sacrament. And then after that, we go down to our parish hall and share in some kind of fellowship meal, however you want to describe it. Tonight is going to be pizza. and then we have a whole host of different activities that we offer to the kids. So my sons are very involved in baseball. So there's a wiffle ball game going on. There's kickball. There's coloring sheets and activities. There's a number of different things for the children to participate in. So that is, kind of a more family-centric type event. I think we'll get to this later on, but we bring in guest speakers that the families can come and listen to about their own faith journey, about being invigorated by the Holy Spirit, about pursuing a deeper relationship with our Lord. And then we have some gender-specific things that are going on, particularly to the men. We are actually bringing the program That Man Is You to the parish that will be starting in September. So a lot going on. But I truly believe that the heart of the home, the heart of the church, really lies with the men.
Yeah, and so there's so many things we'd love to step in and learn more about. So we've got about a minute before our break, and you touched on it real briefly, and I just want to have you mention it briefly. You said you bring people in, so you're bringing in Bart Schutz. Can you tell us just a little bit about what he's going to be bringing to you and when that is? And we'll talk more about it after the break as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bart is the younger brother of Bob Schutz, Dr. Bob mm-hmm. Schutz, yeah. who is a very prominent figure in the Catholic community. My wife and I have both attended Dr. Bob's healing retreats with Sister Miriam, and Bart, his brother, is a part of that system. But Bart has his own ministry called Church on Fire, where he is traveling the country, invigorating individuals, churches, youth groups with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we met Bart at a retreat right outside of Chicago. And this was right as we were kind of taking over the Holy Family ministry. And I just asked him, I said, hey, I said, would you be willing to come down to Georgia and do a speaking engagement at our church? And he said, man, you find an available date and I'll be there. And so we've been working with him for about the last 6 months to get that coming to the parish. And so it'll be a 3-day event at the parish Thursday night and Friday night, and then Saturday morning, August 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Great.
So we're super excited to have him.
Wonderful. So we will hear more about that in just a few minutes after our break. If you are just tuning in, you are here in the family room. We are speaking with Nick Bernhard, and we'll hear more from him in just a few minutes.
We'll be right back in the family room, sponsored by VerseBright, right after this.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
This is Father Kevin Peake, a priest of the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and this is my favorite prayer, the breastplate of St. Patrick. Let us pray. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
You're pregnant? What are you going to do? This response puts abortion on the table. Although what are you going to do is a common response, this is not what you say when your friend tells you about her unplanned pregnancy. Women are created to nurture life. No woman truly wants to kill her own child. Unplanned pregnancies can be scary. 74% of women who've had abortions say that if one person would have offered support to help them, they would have chosen life. This approach? Congratulations, you'll be a great mother and I'll help you, can be just what she needed to hear. God sent you to help her. Call 1-800-712-HELP to find the closest free pregnancy center. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
This is Al Cresta from Cresta in the Afternoon. Catholic Radio provides many services and functions. It first of all edifies, it builds up the saints. It educates and exhorts, it keeps us doing good works. It encourages us when we need consolation. It engages the culture around us, and it also evangelizes the unbaptized and does the new evangelization for the baptized. This is your home, and we're always here for you. Thanks to our friends at EWTN, our programming is provided free of charge, but this station has other expenses that must be paid to keep the doors open and the lights on. Support of your local Catholic radio station helps shows like Crescent in the Afternoon stay on the air and be available in your area. So no matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of our Catholic radio family. Prayerfully consider making a gift right now, and we'll talk to you soon.
To donate, log on to thequestatlanta.com.
Hey, this is Father Eric Hill from the Catholic Church of the Transfiguration in Marietta, Georgia. And you're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to The Family Room with Mari, John, and Craig. Sponsored by Verse Bright on AM 1160, The Quest.
You're here with Nick Bernhard, who's a father of five, who's doing amazing work up at his parish, Our Lady of the Mountain Parish in Jasper. As we come into the second half, Nick, we always talk about family room memory. And at the break, you had a wonderful story about your father-in-law, actually. Can you give us your family room memory? And somehow maybe if it ties to him, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the break, we were kind of talking about mentors and male role models in my life. And, you know, I was thinking back to, I've spent a lot of time with my father-in-law. We have played a lot of golf together, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law both travel and come and stay at our house quite frequently. And they have a number of grandchildren throughout the United States, and they have certainly prioritized traveling to see them. And so when they come and they spend time with our children, they're truly devoted grandparents. But particularly my father-in-law, he has emulated the Catholic faith like no man I've ever known. So devoted, so committed to his faith, is a daily communicant, is a staunch defender of the faith. But my favorite family room memory was actually, I can't remember what holiday it was, so he'll have to forgive me, but we had my family and children, as well as my sister-in-law and her children, all here sitting in our living room. So it's three generations together sitting in my living room, praying the rosary together. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember whose birthday it was that we were celebrating, but to actually have the grandchildren of various ages lead the rosary there with him there, and him being really kind of the patriarch of our family, is probably one of my favorite experiences.
That's awesome. In the break, you did say one thing, and I do want to bring it up. And you said he had five children just like you do, same orientation, I think, three and two. But what you said is he admittedly, and you talk about vulnerability, he admittedly said, look, I haven't done it perfectly, right? And I think we as guys, more so sometimes than women, we think it has to be perfect. We have to do it 100%. And we forget that God intervenes, and God's the one who makes perfect what really isn't perfect. So how did that impact you when he said, hey, look at you, look up? He didn't say you look up to me, but obviously you've said that. But he says, I didn't do it perfectly. How did that admittance impact you, maybe?
It certainly gives you a sense of peace. It gives you a sense of the ability for redemption. Admittedly, I've not been a perfect husband, a perfect father, and you know, my wife has graciously forgiven me every time that I've fallen down. There's been many times where I've had to go to my children and ask them for forgiveness. And, you know, it truly is a reminder of our Lord's forgiveness for us every time we step into the confessional and truly make a true act of contrition with a contrite heart and then confess our sins. He is merciful. He is loving. And really that's what our Catholic faith is all about. And, you know, it's never too late to begin again.
Mm. You know, I want to camp for just a second on your father-in-law, because once again, I'm always thinking about the people listening and the people who are tracking with your story, right, Nick? And in your story, you came from a bit of a challenge, you know, obviously losing your father when you're 18 months old, and then you have a stepfather who provided for you very well, but wasn't really a man of faith either, pouring into your life in those ways. But then you have this father-in-law. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, I'm hopefully in the next few years, I'll be a mother-in-law to somebody, I'm hoping, or maybe more than one person in the next few years. And I think we don't think about how we can still have impact in our society. We think, oh, our kids are grown, they're gone, we can't impact them anymore. You know, we're done. They're 18, they're 22, whatever it is. We wasted it. You know, we had our shot, we did all we could, and now they're off on their own, and now the world's got them. But during the break, you were talking to us, and it really resonated with me how, as in-laws, we can still have a great impact on the children that God has brought into our lives as adults now. Can you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. My father-in-law has been a wonderful influence for me, always encouraging me to pursue the faith, to grow in deeper communion with our Lord. And, you know, it's not just words. He leads by example. I have watched him leave in the middle of the night to go sit in adoration. I've mm-hmm. watched him sit in a chair alone with nobody in the room and just fervently pray his rosary. You can just tell when he's just in a deep, deep discernment of something relative to the faith. And there's a group of guys that I meet with regularly for breakfast, or excuse me, for coffee on Wednesdays. And when he's in town, he comes and he's always adding to the conversation. He's always invoking other men to lead from the front. And so, he's been a tremendous, tremendous example in my life and a great mentor. And like I told you at the break, you know, I've never openly stated this to him. So if he ever gets the opportunity to listen to this, I hope he knows that and how much he means to me.
Mm. Awesome. We'll make sure to have a copy sent to him.
Give us his email address and we can make that happen.
Right. Or actually, you know, all listeners, you can listen on the Quest app to any of our shows, any of our past shows. And also we're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcast. You can go to Apple Podcast and look up the Family Room Podcast. And we've got about 125 episodes on there now. So next episode will be on there as well. And you can easily access it. And you can share those, as you guys know. So, Nick, you can easily do that for him.
So, Mari, I want to hang, like, I like that terminology. I want to camp out. Yeah. I like camping. So I want to camp out on another time. If I haven't, do you have other that you
want
to go?
Perfect.
Okay. So I want, Nick, I would love to hear your take. You said, you know, men, there's a vulnerability. Vulnerability is important. And I think vulnerability is a concept that's been hijacked by our current culture, because to be a vulnerable man, you got to be this wimping, weeping, wilting lily of a guy that just gets pushed around. Talk to us about how you see the concept of vulnerability and our call to be warriors in an army of Jesus Christ under his standard. What are your thoughts on those two concepts, please?
I think you'll appreciate I'm a follower of a friend of you all's, Bear Wozniak. I'm in Bear's camp, if you will. So, you know, vulnerability to me is being able to admit your faults with humility, not with justification. You know, I think oftentimes men try to say, well, this happened, but it's because of X, Y, and Z. And really, the because X, Y, and Z doesn't matter. The fact is that you did it. And being able to admit that to yourself, admit that to others, but more so than anything, admit it to other men. Our culture, like you had said, it has been hijacked in so many different ways, whether it's toxic masculinity or these Andrew Tate types, if you will. And that's really not what masculinity is, right? Masculinity is being, you know, kind of the cliche, if you stand for nothing, then you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. And really having an opinion, you know, have an opinion, even if it's the wrong opinion, or even if it's a wild opinion, have something, you know, stand on your feet and stand for something. But the other side of it is, and I think the culture tries to push the whole machismo, muscles and tattoos and big beards and cigars and guns and all that kind of stuff. And that's not masculinity either, right? Masculinity is being able to get on your knees and let your child run to you and embrace you and let you feel that in your heart. You know, masculinity is seeing your wife in tears for whatever reason and being overwhelmed with compassion for her, just for her pain, for what she's feeling. I'm going to deviate here a little bit. You know, what women have experienced from men in today's culture is an absolute atrocity. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the sexualization of our society, whether it's the rampant pornography use, whether it's the abuse physically, mentally, emotionally of women, whether it's daughters, whether it's wives, whether it's sisters, it's got to stop. It absolutely has to stop, and it starts with the men. And, you know, I'm kind of in Bear's camp when he says, I'm never going to hold a man accountable, right? I'm not your accountability partner, but I am your brother in Christ. And I will look at you and I will nudge you and I will tell you, hey, look, man, you're better than that. Let's not go down that road. Let's be better than that together. I'm not your father. I'm not God. I'm not here to hold your feet to the flame, but I will be here to support you. So, you know, I think that society tells us that we have to be, you know, high earners. We have to have the chiseled jaw and the fast car and the, you know, whatever woman. And it's such a lie, such a lie. You know, the gift of marriage, the gift of relationship, the gift of wholesome dating where there's no sexual tension or anything like that, is such a wonderful blessing. And, you know, there's so many things that I wish that I could go back and have. You know, you come to this realization of what life really is like, and you go back and say, man, I wish I could do that all over again. And, you know, some of us have to live with the regret of not being able to go back and do that over again. But we can step in and try to help our youth that are coming up, the men that are aspiring, to say, look, you don't have to go down that route. Don't let the world feed you the crap that they're trying to. And be willing to say, like, that's not a man. This is what is. I don't know if that answers your question completely, but...
No, it does.
It absolutely does. And I think, you know, we lose sight of trying to picture Christ, as you say, because so much of the paintings are of a pale-faced, red-haired, kind of a wuss. So sorry for using those terms. You know, but when you think about it, he was a carpenter. He hung out with a bunch of fishermen. He was tough, but yet his heart poured out for people. How many times he cried over Jerusalem, he cried over Lazarus' death. And kind of going back to your situation with your natural father and things like that, you know, part of the vulnerability, too, that we've lost, men and women, is sitting quietly with God, pouring our heart out. Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. I made a mistake. I need your help. Or I don't know what to do with this. Or simply, I just love you. I mean, you've been awesome. We don't do that because we get caught up so many times in doing this program, doing that program, which are all great, mm-hmm. but why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. Am I doing it to really love God more deeply? Love yeah. Christ more deeply through the church? Am I doing it just to feel good about myself? And I think as guys, being part of that vulnerability is, Lord, I don't know you as father, because my dad may not have been a great guy, or my dad never said he loved me. Tell me what it means to be a loving father. Teach me how to love like Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. right? Love like Christ loved the church. I mean, that's a big deal, and most of us don't know how to do that.
Yeah, and that vulnerability, yeah. too, of receiving, right?
Yeah, how do I let myself be loved?
Yes, I don't have to have all the answers I need to receive, and I think women run into that, too. We sure. all feel like we have to be in control, we have to be in charge, and so allowing ourselves to just receive what God has for us. If you are just tuning in, you are here in the family room, and we are speaking with Nick Bernhardt today. We are talking about several programs he's bringing to his parish of Our Lady in the Mountains, but specifically those that influence men and fathers and helping them receive more, right? Helping them to really walk into that role of man and that role of father and that role of husband in beautiful ways. I have to speak up for women real quick because you guys are talking about masculinity. To me, one of the most masculine things that that men can do is to be humble. It's my favorite leadership quality. It's my favorite quality in any person, especially in a man. And it's my favorite quality in my husband. And he's taught me so much through his humility, through his willingness. You know, when our son was six and we got into an argument in front of our son and my husband was upset with himself for, you know, for not being as kind as he should have been to me in front of our son, he literally went to school at my son's lunch hour and apologized to our son. That was 17 years ago, 18 years ago, and apologized to our son for the way he spoke to me and the way he acted that morning, and told him that that's not how he should have been. You know, what kind of humility does that demonstrate? Amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking with marriage, you know, oftentimes you hear in a marriage or in a Catholic marriage ceremony, you hear the readings of wives submit. And there's all the kind of rustling that you hear. But I would step back and say, men have a responsibility to carry themselves in a way that a wife would want to submit to.
Right.
Yes.
And our culture is doing everything that it can to push us in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if there's a charge to men nowadays, it's be something worth submitting to.
Yeah.
Give your wife or your girlfriend or your fiance, wherever you are in your courting relationship, give them something to submit to. And I think so many times today, you know, the lies of society and culture and because of our cardinal sins as men pull us so far in the opposite direction. And I think when men really step back and say, okay, I'm truly going to be something that my wife wants to submit to, I think we'll see a dramatic change in our culture.
Now, let's define that, because I know there's hair standing up on people's necks somewhere over this. You know, submission is not I'm a doormat and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. It's a trust, mm-hmm. that the person you're putting yourself under or you're yoking yourself to has got your best interests at heart, really loves you so deeply that they would never let anything happen to you. Because again, going back to Ephesians 5, which is what you're quoting, you know, be submissive, but then the finger points back at us and says, are you going to love your wife like Christ mm-hmm. loved the church? Which means I'm going to die for you. I'm going to do every single thing I can with your best interests at heart. Well, it can't be very difficult for anybody to kind of put themselves under that yoke of somebody that says, well, of course I can trust this person. I'll do what they want me to do.
Right.
They trust my opinion. They listen to my opinion.
And we're each supposed to do that. So it's interesting, as a woman, if you really look at that, we're just supposed to love you and respect you. You actually have to die for us.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
You actually have to do more. You know, practically, I'll give you real practical from how George and I ended up interpreting that and how it works in our lives, if this is helpful for anybody. We talk about the 51-49 rule. So most of the time, if we're trying to make a decision and it's more important to one of us than the other, then whoever it's more important to, or whoever has more of the information about or the more knowledge about, they're the ones who make the decision. But once in a rare while, and I think in 26 years of marriage, this has happened maybe twice, we come to an impasse where we're both passionate about a topic and we're, you know, we're arguing, and that's where the 51 comes. I'm the one who's allowed to say, who's called to say, and who's decided to, I chose to do this. I chose to say, you make the call. I submit to you. You make the call. But he has to hear my argument. He has to really take into account my argument. He has to go before God, and he has got to listen to my argument, go before God, and let God help him make the decision. And both those times, my decision won out, because I submitted my authority to make the decision and gave it to him, but he decided in what I was asking to do. And because I trust him. So if when you're choosing a spouse, you got to choose someone who you know is going to have the best interests of you and your family and what God says first and foremost. John, you look like you're about to jump out of your chair.
What you said in there is like, I've just heard two powerful things, you know, be something that someone wants to submit to. But what you did, or what you and George do, is there's a third party in that decision now. When you behave that way, you are behaving in a godly fashion. God is now present in that decision, and the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit guides the decision.
Yeah.
And that's the, I would say that is the most important piece of that, right? God doesn't just put these things in guidance and give us this guidance because that's kind of how he wants it to be. He guides us in a manner in which he can be most present, most powerful, and most loving. And when you behave that way, then you have welcomed him. You've given him a place in that decision, and he will step in. And I will tell you, when you don't behave that way, and this is the part that nobody wants to hear, there is another person who will step into the gap,
mm-hmm.
and it's the evil one.
Yep.
He will step into that gap in a skinny New York minute, and life does not go well.
Exactly. Anyway. And because, as we've said, Sister Lucia at Fatima She heard the message from our Blessed Mother, who said the evil one is going to come after marriages.
That's the final battle.
The final battle will be after marriages. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So interesting. I want to spin this a little bit then. Going back to, I know we were talking about Bart Schutz and that Church on Fire program. And there's a very charismatic element to that. And it's all about, is the Holy Spirit enlivening my heart to live very differently, to be healed, which is very difficult. Sometimes we can't submit that. Nick, what do you see? I mean, you brought him in for a reason. What's his message about, whether it's setting the church on fire or being healed and being on fire? Why did you decide that Bart was worthy of bringing in?
Well, you know, Bart is an excellent speaker. I've heard him speak a number of different times, and he has a very commanding presence. So when we talk about masculinity, he fits the quote-unquote stereotype, right? Very tall, bald, strong man who played college football. He played for Florida State, and he has an amazing testimony of his own, and so it's captivating. And it's another one of those, like, hey, I lived this life, I did these things, I committed these atrocities, and the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me with his presence, and I died to myself, and now I live for thy will be done. And Bart is an exemplary person in that regard. And so I just, the way that it moved me, the way that it moved Catherine, we just felt like, you know, golly, I mean, it's got to be able to move others. You know, I can't say that there's one particular topic or one particular thing that he does or says. It's just the overall program is just extremely beneficial. The way that he is able to convey his message and really invoke the Holy Spirit within us. You know, he leads all of his ministries with, you know, a calling upon the Holy Spirit, the Come Holy Spirit prayer. And you can truly just, in the room, you can feel the power of the Holy Spirit's presence moving about you. And you literally can almost feel like your body temperature rise. So we really just felt like it would be a beneficial thing for the parish and for our members. And we truly hope that we've actually opened the entire event up to the entire Archdiocese of Atlanta. So we do have a registration page on the website, and we're truly encouraging anyone from far and wide, whether you're a lifelong Catholic, cradle Catholic, or someone who's just considering the Catholic Church, we invite you to come and be a part of this event. It truly, truly will be a moving experience.
So before you move on, August 8th, 9th, and 10th.
And what is that website that where people can register?
Go to olmjasper.org. And then there is a subpage on our parish's website where you can register.
Okay, so OLM for Our Lady of the Mountains, olmjasper.org. And we will also put that in our show notes as well. And then they can go and register there. And so it's the evening of August 8th, the evening of August 9th, and the morning of August 10th. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great, great. So we've only got a couple more minutes before we close out, but I know we briefly touched on that man as you, and I think that so many of the elements that we've talked about have to do with that program as well. Can you briefly mention that program? And then we would love to find out if you can share your contact information, because there are probably other young men at parishes who are saying, man, I'd love to emulate the types of things that Nick is doing. So tell us a little bit about that man as you.
Yeah, sure. So that man as you is a program that is, I guess, owned and operated by a larger organization called Paradisus Day. It's a program designed to bring men of the parish together so that they can share in fraternal camaraderie. But there's also something from a educational, catechetical, theological standpoint that gives them reason for being there, something to learn, something to leave with. And it really leaves you with a charge to go and be a stronger, better Catholic man.
No, that's awesome. Thanks, Nick. So we've heard about Our Lady of the Mountains, the Church on Fire program that Bart Schutz is doing, and then the program you're doing internally, That Man Is You. And we're out of time, so if you don't mind, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you send forth your Holy Spirit to be here with us. We hope that these words are words that you have placed upon our hearts, that we have conveyed the message that you want us to convey. We hope that any listener that feels compelled or feels charged to hear your word, that they may fully pursue you. May they pursue you in the sacraments. May they pursue you in their hearts. We ask that you send forth your blessing on the men of our country and of our world, that they may truly find you, accept you, and bring you into their hearts and into their lives. Lord, we ask that you continue to work within us, that you strengthen us as men and as a brotherhood, where we can look to each other for example, for support, and help us to truly lead our families, our nation, and our world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 Nick, thank you so much. Listeners, again, thank you so much for being with us here in the Family Room, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright. For more info, go to thequestatlanta.com.